We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode. We humbly apologize to our listeners for the technical issues we experienced in this episode. Thank you for listening to Strong by Design, and we hope you enjoy today's conversation with our special guest.
What's up, everybody? This is Mike Westerdahl, your host of the Strong by Design podcast. I've got a very special guest today. This is a longtime friend of mine. His name is Steve Konopka. He's from West Hartford, Connecticut. He lives in Simsbury now. He's got two boys, Maximus and Jackson, and we played football together at CCSU, Central Connecticut State University. We were actually roommates. We were bouncers together and still friends today. Now, Steve studied exercise science in college. He went on to have a stint with the New York Giants, and he played arena football for 8 years. Now, I drove from Connecticut to Toronto. It's pretty far, but watched a few Toronto Phantom games. Flew out to Las Vegas for some Gladiator games. I don't think I made it to Utah, though. The Utah Blaze games at the end. Yeah, I missed that. So now he's retired from football, but he's the owner of Strength and Honor Training Facility, which has two locations. One's a private studio in Simsbury, but then he also runs a small group athletic performance training with some adult classes. And the second location is called Ascension Athletics. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, Bristol, Connecticut. That's a combat sport gym focused on MMA and wrestling, which you are all state wrestling and your boys are really into wrestling. I've seen on Instagram.
Yeah, it's a great sport, tough sport. Boys love it. It's I shed a tear watching them.
Yeah, I was just thinking awesome. Before the call, I was like, we got to take a trip because Lincoln, my son, he's just a year younger than Jackson, take him up there for some boot camp wrestling training.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We actually might be coming down your way in a couple of months for the Spartan Combat Nationals. So
oh really?
Yeah. So that would be pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
Courtney says hi too.
Yeah, it's been forever. We gotta definitely get together. It's been like 10 years since we've seen each other, but you know, we keep in touch.
Yep.
So Steve, you train a lot of youth athletes. Is it mostly high school kids, or what age groups are we talking about today? Because we're going to get into some nutrition mistakes that young athletes make. So just to start things off, what age groups are we going to focus on?
You know, we have a few groups as young as first to third grade. You know, my little Jackson's a little leader in his tribe in his group. And people say, oh, training at this young, it's just, you really got to know it's basically movement patterns and keeping them healthy and strong and fit. And so we have groups in, you know, first to third grade, then we move up to the fourth to sixth graders, all the way up to, I have Division I college athletes come back every summer. And the main core is definitely high school athletes around local. They are the elite for the area. We're up here in the Northeast in Connecticut. Sports aren't as affluent as, you know, say Texas or Florida or California, but they're all hard workers and they're all goal oriented. And that's where we're going right now. And then at the Ascension Athletics, it's mainly just fighters and wrestlers. And those are a little bit older. We're talking late teens, mid 20s. Some of the fighters are in the 30s, but that's that age group over there. We opened up a younger group class for the younger youth wrestlers, which is going crazy over there, which is awesome because they love it.
That's awesome. Great to hear. So, you know what I was wondering, like for me, and I think for you, high school, we kind of took control a little bit of our own nutrition, kind of choosing what we're going to eat for dinner, you know, maybe paying for some stuff ourselves, telling our mom what we want her to get, you know, but what about the younger kids? Like you're talking, the elementary school kids, like how do you, even if they know what they're supposed to do, doesn't it all just come from the parents? How do you navigate that? Do you have to like deal with the parents too, to kind of give them tips? And people have so many hangups on food. It's crazy. It's like religious feelings over like what you should or shouldn't be eating. And people, it's like, talking about politics or something when you start getting into nutrition with people sometimes.
That's a slippery slope too, going down that road. Yeah, for the most part, especially in the younger kids, first, second, third grade, and yes, you should be focused on nutrition, especially if they're an active kid. I think any kid, to be honest with you, because it's not just nutrition for sports or performance. They also need a nutrition to do well in school, right? They need the energy to be focused and keep them occupied in class so they can learn and their brain can soak everything up.
It's totally important. Do you have parents that? Like you're teaching the kids when they come to you, and then what, they're going to go home and kind of let their parents know stuff, or do you have to talk to the parents too?
We do a combination. With the younger kids, we start with their parents because, it's kind of nice. A lot of them are open-minded. They'll come to me instead of saying, hey, I used to work out. I know how to feed my kid and stuff like that. And if you get someone like that, we just sprinkle in some ideas. Hey, let's work on this, let's work on that. But a lot of them are, hey, what should they be eating? And that's the best when someone wants to learn, because I'm always learning, right? I don't know it. I know a tiny morsel of what I will know in 10 years from now, right? So you're always learning. So when parents are open like that, that's the great, great revenue for success right there for that young athlete. And you just give them bits and pieces. The main thing is making sure, I notice with the real younger kids, is making sure they get a full breakfast. I mean, you'd be amazed at like how many... Well, what did Johnny or Sarah have for breakfast today? I think he had a glass of orange juice. Wait, what? You didn't have like some oatmeal or pancakes or eggs or a glass of milk, maybe some water as well. And they sit there and it's not easy for the parents either, because some of them don't have the knowledge. And, in this busy world right now, everybody's running around. Sure. And if one parent's at work and the other one's on the way out the door and Johnny or Sarah doesn't want it, I don't want to finish my oatmeal. Oh, okay. And they go. It's and tough, I call man. It the half. Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know what it's like with your kids, but man, they get picky. It's like, and they go through phases. Like I remember when they were little, when they were like 2 and 3, they'd eat anything. Eggs, avocados, like anything you put, they're just like loving it. And then all of a sudden they go to some birthday parties and try cake and some candy. And then it's just like, now they just want like cheeseburgers and pizza, which, there's always a thing with calories. Like my son is so active. He plays soccer. He's running around. Like he's just on off, going crazy all day long. And he eats everything and anything. And I'm just like, all right, he's getting a good variety of food, but my daughter, it's a little trickier. And they start, the female athletes, they can even get into the stuff of wondering about getting fat and self-esteem and that whole can of worms too. Right. That's a great point. So we're going to talk about the 6 biggest mistakes. Number one, you just mentioned kids not having a full breakfast. So
I call it didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go.
I call it the half bowl syndrome. That bowl shouldn't be half full when they're leaving that table. And it's a lot of work for the parents. And one thing on all these little issues we're going to touch base on, a lot of it, it's the effort of the parents as well. It really is. You have to educate and the parents have to want to do it too, because it's not easy. It is hard. You're rushing out the door. They don't want to eat. But you can't be late for work, so your kid eats 6 more bites of oatmeal, right? But
or be a complete nag.
Right. After a while, it's just like the Snoopy effect. That teacher's in school. You yell too much. It's just in one ear, out the other. So it is hard. It does take effort, but anything worth doing does take effort. So
you had some tips for picky eaters. What are some things that are like kid friendly? Kids like this food. And we're talking younger kids now. Yeah. I think maybe the high school kids starts getting a little smarter and knowing it's not all about what tastes good, but what are some tricks to kind of get the picky eaters to eat a better breakfast?
My thing is if you can let them help you make it, like the night before we call them Spartan pancakes. All right. So and don't get me wrong. My kid's been brainwashed since day one. All right. So I'm first to say I started them young. And we went on from there, but letting them make some of the decisions sometimes makes them feel like they have a say of what they're eating. A big thing I like using, and some people get a little nervous about the sugar, but if you get real maple syrup, not like Log Cabin or Mrs. Butterworth or something like that, real maple syrup has a lot of minerals and it does have good nutritional value as well. And it doesn't have corn syrup solids or anything like that. Using that, add a little, you know, tablespoon into their oatmeal, and let them use that, you know, instead of sitting there and pound, you know, that's something that can really make, I even use that with ham and cheese rolls, for like their lunches. So you would take a, you know, a nice piece of cheese. So they're getting calcium. We got ham. So we're getting protein, correct? And then, you know, in their little lunch, you put a little serving of the maple syrup and they just dip it. And just that, in reality, you're putting a tablespoon and we're talking 10 extra calories, right? But they love that sweetness, that flavor. And it's a, you know, organic and it's real. It's not man-made or processed. And that really goes a long way. Parents are calling me up. Hey, my kids are dunking asparagus in maple syrup and eating it. I mean, imagine getting a second grader eat asparagus. And, you know, it doesn't work for everything. But if you can find a few here and there, you know, because, like, again, it's never perfect. It is work. But just building a foundation in little steps. But organic natural maple syrup has been one of my biggest tricks.
So it's processed. But, you know, the Eggo gluten-free waffles and stuff. I forget the brand. But it's like a whole wheat one. And the carbs never seems to be a problem. Like, they'll always eat carbs. It's trying to get like protein and fat as part of the meal too. And then I'll put some peanut butter on that. And then also pour some maple syrup. So it's a little high sugar, but at least he's getting some protein and fat from the peanut butter. He likes the waffle and the peanut butter is at least not, I mean, the syrup's not that processed. So that'll work. But like you said too, I ask him, what do you want? And it helps when they say what they want, then they're not going to fight me, because it actually pisses me off a lot in the morning when I make something, give it to them, and then they're like, no, I don't, that's not what I want. And they almost cry. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's very confident. That does happen to my little guy, Jackson. He's been a little bit more work with food wise, because he'll eat a grown adult meal size. Like, you wouldn't even believe. But my wife got in this bad habit of blending the sauce so there's no chunks. And now this guy's not eating sauce if it's got a chunk of tomato in there. And I'm losing my mind. I'm like, we don't have time for this. You know, so one tip, especially for that breakfast, because we do not like that half bowl syndrome, is talk about it the night before. Like, as you tuck them in for bed or going there, and there's been a lot higher compliance rate. You know, the worst. Yeah, I've noticed that with my own kids, and it just you know, it's just one of those things you stumble on, right? And I say, hey, talk to them before bed, after brushing your teeth or your routine, whatever it is. Say, hey, what do you want for breakfast tomorrow? And they might say, hey, I want Fruity Pebbles. All right, no, Johnny, we can't have Fruity Pebbles, but what about this? Okay, can we add raisins on it? Can we add it? Yes. Boom, that's what you're getting for breakfast. So they're already aware of what they're going to eat the next day, and they did have some input. So that's...
I stumbled on that last night by mistake, because the kids have a fundraiser at school called Run-a-thon. They're going to run as many laps as they can today to like make money for the school. So they kind of know they need to run and have energy. So last night I said to Lincoln, I said, what do you want for breakfast? He goes, something healthy. He goes, how about scrambled eggs and bacon or something like that, and some fruit. I was like, sounds good. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah. And see, they, even at a young age, they like having input. They really do. And sometimes, some kids are more stubborn than others. Like one child, you can say, hey, this is what you're doing. Finish it. And they're putting it down. The other kid, just because you told them to, they don't want to eat it, you know? So they have a little bit of input. And that also helps the parents plan for it as well. So if you know, hey, Johnny's asking for this or Sarah's asking for this, that helps you be ready in the morning, you know, save some time and all that, and hopefully have a little less headache there with that half bowl syndrome.
Our team would like to thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. And if you're enjoying today's show, please share this episode with at least one friend or family member who will benefit from this message. And please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
That kind of rolls right into the second mistake, which you were talking about, too many processed foods.
Yes. You know, a lot of, a lot of parents, this is a time and a convenience thing. That's where it started. You know, you can buy a Lunchable and there you go. They're going to eat it. You just throw it in their bag. And I understand it. I get it. One model we'll keep going over is it's not easy, especially with some picky eaters. It's pretty, there's difficult situations, but the parents got to care. They got to put in some effort there. If you look at the back of some of these processed snack foods or, you know, with the cartoon characters on there, you can't read some of the ingredients. I know, yeah. I can't.
No idea. We call it Franken food. We call it robot food.
Yeah.
I show them that. And then if they want something, I'm like, okay, if you can read this, you can have it.
That's a good idea.
But you know what? It's also, I mean, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but kind of with our family, I don't want them kind of getting a complex that they can never have like these treats or processed foods. But it's like, I say it's moderation of these things. Cause they're like, if I eat this, will I get fat or get sick? And I'm like, one thing? No, you're not going to get fat or sick from eating like one Snickers bar.
Right.
But if this becomes a habit and you do this too much, then yes, you're going to get fat if you're not exercising enough. And number two, if you do this long term, yeah, you could start having some like sicknesses and diseases. Having it sometimes, that's fine. You know,
absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think you're 100% correct in that. Like you don't want them afraid of things per se.
Right.
Because you know that could get awkward when they go to friends' houses or something. And if someone else wants to eat a certain way, you know what? That's fine for them. You don't need your kids sitting at someone else's dinner table saying, "I'm not eating that. It's poison." You know, that doesn't go over too well. But to know that hey, let's you know that you know, back to that 80-20 rule that people use in all walks of life. You know, if you're eating healthy and smart 80% of the time, you're doing really well. No, and then you have those treats here and there, and it's okay to have that sweet tooth here and there.
Sure. You know? I mean, they still got some candy for Easter and stuff, but my daughter's good about it. She, like for my son, you got to take it away and like let him have it. Her, she'll have like one or two things and just like put it away and forget about it until like her brother steals it from her or something. But
yeah.
But I mean, again, with this 80-20 rule, that's the next mistake you're going to bring up, right? Like rewards. Yeah. Don't use that stuff as like a reward. Yeah. What does that do? That like trains them into thinking
I
when they do good, they get this?
Especially, I've noticed we're huge into wrestling. And obviously that's a weight class environment. Even in young kids, I don't condone weight cutting or any of that stuff. But hey, this is what you like doing, you have to be 70 to 72 pounds, right? And then if you let yourself go too much because you're not eating the right foods, you know, it makes your performance and your love for the sport could fade a little bit because now you got to work that weight off. And again, that falls more on the parents a little bit. But, you know, you win at a town league championship and then you're getting extra large fries and a Big Mac. You know, it's teaching that kid, hey, I work real hard. I can go eat this stuff. And like we said, you know, you can't be definitely afraid of it. You know, everything has its time and purpose. But, you know, find our biggest fast food is that we love is Chipotle or Moe's. Much healthier option. Great carbohydrates, great protein source, great flavor. It's, you know, and there's a couple others out there. There's, even Subway per se, you know, treat them that way. The children or the young athletes, they just like the whole ordeal of going out somewhere to eat, right? That's the excitement, you know, just because the kid will get just as happy as for a turkey, lettuce and cheese and apple slices at Subway because he's going out with his friends. We're not going home. We're, hey, great job. Then as they would go into McDonald's.
Sure.
Right. And if you look at the nutrition factor and you're just teaching, you're leading by example because you go there yourself as well, but you're setting a regimen. You're ingraining in them the good choices.
Yeah. I mean, we've let them go to Wendy's before, but then like, I might not get something. They're like, why not? And I'm like, that stuff doesn't make me feel good. And right. Then sometimes they'll say no. Sometimes they want it. Sometimes they're like, no, I don't want to stomach it.
Yeah, there you go. I forget where we went and they were supposed to have these crazy good fries and my son Max ate a basket of fries, and I mean you know what? I just said, just let it go, you know? And all I know is he got a real upset stomach and, you know, and he was in the bathroom for a little while. And right away he was like, those fries didn't do good. They didn't do like he, but it was good because he saw cause and effect.
Natural and consequence.
Consequence. And what I told him, it wasn't, I didn't tell him, can't eat fries ever again or you're going to get like that. When he ordered, I was like, hey, why don't you get the small size? And he was like, no, Dad, please, please, I want the basket. I can eat it. I know you can eat it, but it might. So it worked out perfectly. I wasn't happy that he was hurting for a few hours, but right there is, you know, portion control is another thing that, you know, you just give a bag of chips to a kid, they're gonna mound through that whole bag, right? So portion control is another way to help teach and show the young athletes.
Sweet, man. What's the next mistake? You're talking about macronutrients, like every kid should know about these.
Well, little by little, you know, not to the science of where, say, okay, a protein has 4 grams of calories, a fat has 9, you know, that effect. But since the youngest age, after I worked out, I'd make a shake. I would have them help me make a shake. And I'll explain, we got to have protein to rebuild our muscles and get stronger. You know, that obviously that's a very lax explanation, but for a young athlete, it's registering in their head. And, you know, I have him help me make the shake.
Yeah.
You know, scoop that protein in there, put the top on, make sure the blender's tight, stuff like that. So they learn the experience per se. And when we add carbs or fruits before, hey, you need energy, right? All right, long energy, let's get some pasta, let's get some this, or teaching them what the foods will do for them,
right,
per se.
The sugary fruits and things, you could say quick energy,
run around real quick, but you're gonna fizzle out. But we have some pasta, wheat bread, whole grain bread, stuff. It's gonna give you energy, so now you can play in that whole tournament. If you're playing a lacrosse tournament or anywhere, it's not just a quick 40 yard dash sprint. And,
sure.
And they do understand it, especially if you're leading by example and showing them as much as you can. You don't have to be in shape or you don't have to be crazy fit to do this. I mean, you can eat healthy and be normal. You know, people think it's just crazy science or you have to go to one extreme. You don't. You just have to be, you know, that 80-20 and eat basic, and you don't have to starve yourself of certain foods. But letting them realize what this meat does, what this pasta will do. Hey, we're having pasta tonight. We have a tournament tomorrow. These carbohydrates fill up your muscles with you know, energy, glycogen. And hey, so tomorrow let's have a big breakfast so you have energy throughout the day. Hey, every tournament we always have our protein shake. You know, I use I use like a naked drink with a little scoop of natural whey, and they love the flavor. They're getting the simple sugars, they're getting the protein, and they love it. They make it their own, but it becomes regimented, and to them it's normal now. And the good thing is sometimes like their friends see it, like, what are you doing? Oh, it's my green protein. They think they're so cool, you know. But then, hey, mom, how come I'm not drinking green protein? And, you know, some parents ignore it, but some parents ask, hey, what are you doing there? And they're like, wow, that's a great idea. I never thought of that. And then I get, hey, Johnny or Sarah, hey, they love that green protein drink concoction. They love it. And
it's great.
Yeah, it just...
It's smoothies are fun for the kids anyway.
Right.
Especially when they're making it. And you can put fruit and stuff in it.
Yeah, pile all that good stuff in there.
Yeah. when they're even younger and they don't get it as much, I'm like, eat that. Eat the ham. Eat the chicken. That's going to make you, like, kick the ball farther.
There you go.
It's like,
right. It doesn't have to be scientific to them because they're too young to understand that.
And I'm like, eat that stuff. It's going to make you do better on your test because it fuels your brain. And
right.
This one's going to give you energy all day tomorrow. Like,
this is going to put you to sleep, so don't eat that. You know? You're going to be up all night, so don't eat that.
Sure. Well, putting them to sleep, that would be a good one.
You ever tried those the Calm gummies?
Oh no! Who makes them?
I think I'll look that up for you. I think it's Natrol. I'm not sure, but it's just a magnesium.
Does it actually work?
They definitely help. Yeah, they definitely
help. Magnesium for kids at night to help them sleep.
Right. You know, magnesium is a lot to do with the nerves, central nervous system, and muscle relaxation. Right. So they make them in these gummies, and
I think it's two gummies for 10 and older. And if adults need the same supplement, it's like 4 to 6. And okay. It's still a low dose, but it definitely, you know, you're not going to give them a gummy and they're out cold. But it's the science is there. Especially if a kid is low on magnesium, they don't have magnesium enough in their diet, it'll make a bigger difference than if they had a full diet and they weren't low on magnesium. But yep. It's a natural way to just try it out. It's something you can try for, you know, you try for a few days, see how they like it, and maybe only use it sporadically if they were up real night.
That's a good tool to have. My daughter, she like wants to go to bed. She asks to go to bed. My son, it's like, oh, he wants to stay up till 11 o'clock. It's like, he wants to stay up later than we do. It's crazy.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. Our team here at Critical Bench has been making the world's number one workout and fitness programs to help you live a life that is truly strong by design. We encourage you to visit our Amazon store at strongbydesignamazon.com for premium follow-along workouts, fitness equipment, and more. That's strongbydesignamazon.com.
We're talking about post-practice recovery nutrition. Let's talk about some of the older kids. By high school, you probably know you've got that window, 30 minutes or so after you work out, to replenish a lot of the nutrients you need and glycogen levels.
Yep.
So let's talk a little. What do you recommend for your athletes post-workout or even post-competition?
Yeah, post-competition and post-workout. Right now, we're talking about the high school athletes. So you want that 3-to-1 carb ratio, carb to protein ratio, to replenish that glycogen, the recovery process sped up. Obviously, if it's a weight class environment, you know, you depending on the athlete's weight, you might go down 2-to-1 or even 1-to-1. But you definitely want some type of carbs and simple sugar, simple carbs as well, so that glycogen gets into that muscles for repair real quick with their protein. For the younger athletes, it's important for them too. They don't realize it, but they're drained, and then you have the rest of the night at home and dinner. You wonder why Sarah or Johnny are cranky, right? Well, they used up all their energy. They used up everything they had running around, and they're too young for the most part, even, you know, first, second, third grade, to say, hey, Dad, I got a headache because I'm hungry. You know, they're still going to sit in front of the TV, or they're still going to play Legos or whatever. So, and then it has that snowball effect where it builds up and they can't sleep and they wake up cranky next day of school. So you really want to replenish that even at a young age. Something simple as chocolate milk. You know, chocolate milk has the sugars, it has the calcium, it does have a good protein source as well. You want to look for all natural version. Obviously, you can even make your own. I think that's a lot better. But you also get into the difference between not having anything or grabbing a chocolate milk at the gas station or something. Sometimes that's better than nothing, to be honest with you. The main thing is making sure the kids have the nutrients to replenish everything and keep going. I know we say, oh, they got energy for days, but you know, if they're just running and running and running, they burn a lot. They really do. And I think a lot of times they don't have the nutrients they need to come home and, hey, let's work on your reading, right? We just ran around for 3 hours. They were at school all day, and that's just as important. So if we refuel, the quicker we refuel, you know, on the car ride home, everybody can have a shaker cup and find something that the athlete likes. Refueling right on the way home is simple and easy, helps them unwind a little bit more, give them something to look forward to. My kids love the green protein, my concoction. As soon as they get in there, they hand it to each other, shake it up, boom, they're banging it down. By the time we get home, you know, they're still hungry for dinner, but they're not starving. They're not at their wits, oh my God, I want something to eat, or they're in a better mood too. So
you make this shake yourself for them, or do you have something you can recommend, like an MRP or something for kids? Is there a brand, or do you say just make it yourself?
For the most part, we make it ourselves. I use First Form Nutrition and Transparent Labs. They both have a natural whey protein, you know, and it's very clean. There's no gluten-free, dye-free, artificial sweeteners are all out of that. And I think that's important at the younger age. And then, like I said, we mix it with that naked drink. And so I take a naked drink, I split it in two. But for my younger guy, I put like half a scoop. So it's around 10 grams of protein, which is plenty for his age. My older guy, somewhere between a half a scoop and a full scoop. And I blend those up, we put them in their little cooler bag, and they just do the rest from there.
I knew you'd be creating some beasts. I knew this, college. I was like, as soon as he gets kids, they're going to be like all state animals.
But the best thing is I don't have to drag them anywhere. If I'm dragging them, that means they don't want to go. So on Sundays, we drive down all the way to Jersey for practice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2.5 hour ride. And we get up early Sundays, and they're up before me, fully dressed. I got to wake them up for school, make sure I lean on them. Come Sundays when we go for that extra practice, they're fully dressed, fully everything. Snacks are packed. Sometimes they even make my coffee for me and put it in my Yeti. Nice. Yeah, coffee's all set, Dad. We put a scoop of protein and a tablespoon of coconut oil. And I'm like, man, you guys are great. You know what? Great kid. You know, but then come Monday when it's time to go to school and stuff, you guys make my coffee? No. You know, so. But it's a great time. They love it, and I love being with them. And to me, that's what matters. You know, if they, you know, that 2.5 hour car ride is gold, man. We sing, we yell, and to me, that's what's important. The fact that it's also wrestling is awesome. But the family time, the together, that's
the
best.
Does your wife go? Does she go too?
She does, man. My wife's, she's a sport. She's a wrestling mom. She's a sport mom. It's great. And also helps at
two and a half hours in the car. That's like my limit of what I'll do on a family trip. It's like,
someday you might get there. We're usually once or twice a month, 5 hours each way.
Wow.
So, yeah, but it's don't get me wrong. It's not easy. There's times where I'm like, oh man, this is good. But after you get home and unpack and I think about it, there's always something happening in the car that I laugh about that I'll remember, you know? And it's, you're building memories, you know?
That's nice. All right, let's get the last one, number six. What's the last mistake that you see?
This is really big sometimes, because if you get a parent that's lost weight doing a certain diet, they think it's, hey, I'm on a carnivore diet or keto, I'm going to put, and I, in my opinion, that's really wrong. I don't think a child should be, even a young athlete should be on a certain like diet. You know, I'm giving quote signs, air quotes here. I think they should be eating a wide variety. The more whole food sources, the better. I don't, unless obviously they have a doctor for an allergy or a medical condition where to register a dietitian. Obviously that's, you know, out of the ordinary, and that's what should be done, obviously. But when a parent has success on a diet thinking that's going to work better for the child, I think that's bad. I think they should just, we try to get a balanced meal, fruits, vegetables, pasta, carbs. I mean, pastas, meats, you know, open them to as much as you can. Let them have some say in it. Talk about it, prep it. But restricting them to like an adult diet, I think could really, really do more harm than any good. You know, even if kids are a little overweight at young, which happens to a lot of them, especially over COVID, there's been a lot of that. You know, get them exercising more. You know, get them a little more active before you really start trying to restrict that they eat bread or anything like that. Obviously, if they're just pounding sugar candy and stuff like that, you gotta be a responsible parent and start pulling that back.
Sure. But, I mean, that's common sense stuff. Get rid of the junk food and the snacks, like the sugars and candy and chips, cookies, like cut that out. But as far as like foods, you don't want to say, oh, gluten-free or only meat or totally vegan. And you know, if that's how you're eating, that's fine. But I don't know if everybody in the family should eat that way. Let the kids get a complete balance of everything at this age when they're growing and need such a variety of food.
Yeah, they need that growing body, that active body at such a young age, brain development, again, making sure they're attentive in school and learning. They need a wide variety of nutrients, and they need a lot of it, you know? So I really think when adults, and a lot of them, they don't mean harm. It's just they say, oh, this is working for me. You know, I'm a 40-year-old man, and hey, I needed to drop 15 pounds. I did this. Well, you know what? You're also a 40-year-old man who says, I have no energy. And that guy might grab a cup of coffee, right? He can get through his day and do his thing. And he's not trying to learn algebra for the first time in his life. Well, you put that onto that third grader or fourth grader, wherever it is, he can't grab a cup of coffee. He can't get out of second period class and just walk to the store and grab something because he's going to faint because he feels so hungry. You know, not literally faint, but we've all had that feeling, right? So they can't communicate or process what's going on as well as an adult, or they don't have the means as well to say, hey, this has gone far enough today. I gotta get something in me, you know? So you never want to leave them like that, in my opinion. But
that's good. I'm like taking notes here.
No problem. But yeah, it comes from a good place though when parents do it, because they think it's, oh, I have more energy now. I think it might work better for Sarah. You know, so for the most part, it comes from a good place, but it's also just lack of knowledge, you know. But for the kids, feed them. You know, my opinion is offer them as much as you can, a wide variety of whole food sources with supplements. You know, I try to hold off of that until high school. Good multivitamin though, definitely, especially the gummies. There's great brands out there that are healthy, that just make sure all the gaps are getting filled. You know, that's what supplements are really for, just to fill in the gaps. And sure, a multivitamin, especially with some omega-3s in it, is great for brain development and joints and lubrication and all that. So that's a great, great thing to do, is find a multivitamin with that.
I mean, the kind you see at the grocery store have the like red 5 and yellow and all that artificial stuff. But
right,
I think we bought, it might be called Smarty Pants, or like an owl on it or something like that. And it's got fish oil. It looks like a pretty good one, but my kids, they'll eat one for a while and then they'll go on strike and they won't eat it. And then I got to switch brands and then they'll eat the whole bottle again. Yeah. And then really the only other supplement I give the kids, other than sneaking some protein powder into the pancakes or things like that, is to some probiotics. They have those little chewable tabs, because when the kids get sick and they wind up going on antibiotics, it kills all that bacteria. So I'm always like pumping them with the probiotics too.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's really true. That the gut biome, I mean, just within the last decade, the amount of research and studies have come out, it's become more mainstream. But the gut biome and making it a healthy gut helps immune system, energy levels, all the above. So that's a great, you know, they can get it from Greek yogurts and stuff like that, which is great. But then people hear yogurt, so they're giving them those like the Twix brand or the Kick. What's the one with the silly rabbit? Fruit cereal?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Twix?
I thought it was Twix, but isn't that a chocolate bar?
I can see it right here.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that freaking thing.
Trix?
Yeah, maybe Trix. So, you know, or the go-go squeezes or whatever they are. And then you look in there, there's no probiotics in there. There's almost no nutritional value. It's all red dye and yellow dye and different and just processed sugar. So try to get them, you know, like to a Chobani is really good. There's other options like that they don't taste anywhere near as sweet, but try not to put that in there in the beginning. You know, start
it's like as soon as they start tasting that stuff, it's hard. It gets harder to get them to eat the Greek one. My son will still eat. He loves a vanilla Greek yogurt, but they've got those yogurt squeezes, which just a little bit. But my daughter drinks milk. My son won't drink milk, but he eats the Greek yogurt. And it's always like that calcium thing, right? How do you make sure their bones are strong and growing?
Yeah, that's true.
So what about water? Do you think kids are hydrated enough? I remember, you know, back in the old days playing ball in college, they'd be like trying to make you tougher by not giving you water breaks and stuff, and then kids would get heat strokes.
There's still coaches now. They're like, we went to this wrestling club and then no water break, no water. And I'm like, listen, you have no idea how opposite effect that is doing. All right. Yeah. I mean, kids really need to be hydrated. Send your kid to school with a water bottle. When he comes home, take that water bottle out of his bag, shake it, say, hey, you didn't finish, or you did finish, or hey, how many times did you fill it up? You know, if my kids get to three, we find some little trick or treat or something for them, but which isn't often, because that three water bottles is a lot. But they, you know, they bring a Gatorade bottle or a squeeze bottle or anything, their little Yeti, or just keep filling it up, just have them drinking. Don't put juice in there. A lot of fruit juices are bad. You're getting a lot of that sugar. You're getting artificial sweeteners, stuff like that. Just water just keeps them going. Keeps them hydrated.
Yeah, they like water. My kids drink tons of water. I mean, there might have been a day at an amusement park or something where you just didn't get enough. And you can tell somebody gets like a headache or something. I'm like, all right, you need water.
Yeah, you just look at that cranky face and you're just like, something's wrong, man. Something's wrong. Start figuring it out.
Same thing for us, right? Too many cups of coffee without any water. And it's like headache starts coming.
Yeah, coffee's a diuretic. So if you have you have 8 ounces of water, then you have a cup of coffee, you're still at a negative. You're still at zero, you know? And that's tough for parents, you know. Every meal should definitely have water. Water and some dry. Even if they in the morning we have our little drink, but I always try to get an extra cup of water. And again, it's not easy. You know, there's time you drink your water, no. Get back there. Oh, I got to go. You're running late trying to get to the bus. I know that. There's no way you can be perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm far from it. But the best you can get it done, or the most you can get it done, is positive. And then it just becomes routine to them. They understand.
Yeah. This is all great stuff. This is all a lot of helpful things, a lot of notes I took. I think you're on point with this. It's really helpful. What do you think with the kids? Like, you are like me. We had trouble gaining weight when we were younger, like high school, even the beginning of college. We were just trying to pack on muscle and weight. And we were looking for, I mean, we were eating as much as we could. And our metabolism, we were just so active, playing sports, working out. Plus our metabolisms were probably real high. And it was just tough to gain weight. So today, is it the same thing? Are there so many kids trying to grow and get bigger? Or do we have like more of a problem of like kids getting fat? Or is it kind of equal?
In high school, it's sport specific. You know, the better, the higher in the sport, it depends what they need. The majority of them are trying to gain weight. I want to get bigger. I want to get stronger. And in high school, it's got to educate them on just putting on weight doesn't make you a better athlete, right? Putting on functional strength and muscle that's functional and putting on weight that way, that makes you a better athlete. Because if you put on 15 pounds, but you're a little slower, you're not a better athlete.
What happened to me.
You know what? That was my biggest mistake going in the NFL. At the time, tackles, you know, defensive tackles, if you were 300, that was like crazy. That's what you needed. That's the top.
Yeah, it's different now. Now they're lighter. The defensive ends almost look like outside linebackers.
Yeah. I went into Giants camp at 304, and I really should have gone in there probably 294, to be honest. Knowing what I know now and all the mistakes I made, that would have – the extra strength that I gained being at 304.
Sure.
Was
20 pounds on your squat for, like, losing a step?
Yeah, it was no good. But, at the time, I didn't know. I didn't have the right people around me, to be honest with you. But that was definitely a mistake of mine. And I try to use my mistakes to help, especially my high school kids that are – I have a couple of kids that are serious, man. There's a couple – I got one receiver. There's SC schools after this kid, and he's only a sophomore. And he is just a freak of nature, and he's a good kid, and he works. There's times I got to pull him back, and I'm like, listen, stay the path, trust the process. It's going to – anything quick and easy doesn't last and causes problems elsewhere.
Sure.
But the main thing with gaining weight, I tell them, you guys – it's almost like the same thing as the real young kids. You know, did you eat breakfast? That's the biggest thing. These guys don't eat, and you're missing a feeding. So you fasted all night. That's why they call it breakfast. You're breaking a fast, right? So you're fasting all night unintentionally, obviously, because you're sleeping. You wake up, go to school. You don't eat till 12. So people right now are using that.
That's like intermittent fasting in today's time.
Right. So you're unintentionally intermittent fasting. But you're trying to increase muscle size, kind of gain weight for your sport. It's like you got to break that fast, replenish, and you're missing. That's an extra 4-hour window. You can have two more meals there.
Didn't we used to set an alarm or something, get up in the middle of the night, and we'd have a like a Myoplex shake, or you sitting there, chug that, and then like go back to bed.
Right. We did. And you know what? That was, you know, people thought we were crazy, but that was the way to do it. That's why we kept getting bigger and stronger.
And football camp, too, during training camp, it was like, it's so easy to lose weight because you got the double sessions and you're just sweating and you're just not, you don't even have that same appetite because you're like overtraining and stuff. You would get up in the middle of the night and just chug.
And you have to get those calories in. Your body is a machine. It needs replenishment, it needs fuel. So for all the kids gaining weight, it's a big, you have to eat breakfast because like you mentioned, it's intermittent fasting. And that's one of the big fad right now. That's what people are doing to lose weight. Right. You're doing it as you're trying to gain weight. Like, oh, I don't like eating when I wake up. Doesn't, well, find something, find a shake, find a granola bar, find a banana, find something to break that fast. So your body's replenished and you can start pounding in some more calories.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. To help our show reach more listeners just like you, please let us know how we've changed your life by leaving a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
How are the school lunches in the high schools by you? Is it okay? They can find some stuff that works, or do they got to bring their own?
There's a little more options. Then I think when we were kids, but right now with the whole COVID stuff, there's a lot of stuff that's not available to them that before, hey, I don't like the main lunch, but I can buy this and get what I want and need. So, but there's options, you know, there's protein bars, make a shake, bring it in there. You really, and the kids that really want it and the kids that are compliant, they find a way. They really
do. Because they love like the sport and they want to get better at it, right?
Right. Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
So I mean, then you know nutrition goes with your performance, so you start kind of paying attention to that.
Right.
So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I hit that home immediately because right away the first thing they want to do is, I need to gain weight. Can I get on creatine? I'm like, no. Why would you get on creatine now? You haven't even been through 3 or 4 strength cycles in your life. All right. So it makes no sense. And I explain that. Then the parent will call me and be like, hey, Johnny and Jack and Jeff, they're on creatine. Why can't Evan? I'm like, well, as soon as they get off it, they're going to lose everything. They haven't even been for, their squat isn't even proper right now. So they're going to get lower back pain because they're pushing more weight and their form's not good. And your son has only been through training for really training properly for about 4 months. So why would you take that? Because if he keeps continuing properly now, he's just going to keep last in plateaus. Remember when you first started working out, like every week you were getting better at something, you know, it was fun. It was easy. And that's where you are. So you don't want to jump in and interrupt that process. You really want some training experience, or your training age can be higher than your real age, or it could be a lot lower too.
It's like you're growing, you're getting stronger every week. And then back in the day, looking at magazines, you'd be like, all right, so if I gain this much in 1 year, 3 years from now, I'm going to look like Arnold.
Right. Yeah. Those back in, you know, when we were younger, and that's all we really had was bodybuilding magazines. That was the only thing. We didn't have internet until we were in college. Towards the tail end, we're really dating ourselves right now. But you couldn't just go on there and see a JJ Watt or LeBron James.
Right.
Right. You might get Sports Illustrated and see Michael Jordan, be like, wow, he looks fit. Right. You would see Muscle and Fitness or Flex Magazine. And, you know, that's where I learned a lot of stuff. And, you know, I might have done stuff the wrong way, but the one thing I did do properly was I went hard and I was consistent, right? And that's with anything. Now, if you add in training properly or training with the right purpose or nutrition with the right purpose, that's when you expedite your gains and your results. But, nowadays... you know, kids can just go online. You can see JJ Watt. You can see, and they're like, oh man, that guy's a monster. But you also, you don't see one of those, you know, big juiced up bodybuilders in a banana hammock posing. Like, you know, and people don't realize when they train all year to look like that for 1 hour, right? And they're also, that's the weakest they'll ever be right there. You know, I remember seeing Ronnie Coleman, Mr. like 8-time Mr. Olympia. I saw him out in Vegas right before the Mr. Olympia, and everybody's seen the video of Ronnie Coleman squatting 800 pounds for three, like incredible, right? But so 3 days before the Olympia, he came and he was training at the LVAC, and he was three people over from us. We talked, we were, you know, shooting the stuff, and we were doing some hammer curls, and me and my teammates were doing 60-70 pounders, and he's over there curling 30-pound dumbbells and like barely getting 4 to 6 reps. I mean, I was like mind boggled. But that's what he depleted his body to look like that. It wasn't built to perform. It was built to, and that's what kids need to know.
Right. Yeah, the kids think that they see a guy, really, it's like your body fat percentage. They think they're so muscular. And I'm like, yeah, but the guy is 5'5", 130 pounds. He's not as strong as you think. See that guy over there that's 6'5", 280 pounds, but you can't quite see any muscle definition? He's the one that can like pick up the car.
Push a car. and jump over one as well.
Right.
You know, and I always tell my guys, like, you don't worry about so much. If your performance is getting better, that's what matters. Don't worry about if you don't have the abs or if your guns aren't as big as somebody else's or they're, you know.
The looks don't always match. It really doesn't work that way. There were guys on the football team that were super strong and could block and push you around. And there are other guys that looked the part.
Yeah.
Like we had a guy.
Looked like Tarzan, played
we had a guy. Hollywood bodybuilding looking guy, like unbelievable physique.
Oh, and yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like, it's like, why is he so easy to tackle?
Can't run, can't do anything. I mean, he looked great, but it's funny you say that, bring that up.
But the kids bring this up, you know? They don't get the difference. So
they're all, that's why I'll never have a mirror in any of my gyms, because even when I had my little 350 square feet in my basement and everybody was coming to train, you know, the TV was off and I catch them flexing in front of the TV reflection and pushing each other. Yeah. It's just, I mean, we did the same thing, you know? Yeah. But it's funny. And one time I put it as a joke, I put a little mirror up, maybe 4x4 square, and I put it on the wall, and I'm spotting somebody's squat, make sure we're going over this. And every time they got around me, they'd be in front of that little thing.
That's hilarious.
It's funny. It's funny.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah, we've all been there. So, but yeah, performance is key. That's what you want to eat for, you want to train for. And that happens in both with training. You need to be a wide variety of training with food, especially young athletes. You really want to have a wide variety of whole food sources. Hit that breakfast. No half bowl syndrome. Keep away from those processed foods as much as possible. Make sure they're hydrated. Teach them what the macronutrients and nutrients do for their body. You know, those are key. So if they learn a little bit, and if sports or athletic performance is important to them, if they enjoy sport, they'll correlate. Hey, mom, dad, say this helps me a little bit. So you don't have to be the best. Everybody's ceiling is different. And that's all, you know, just try to reach your ceiling, and a good whole food source nutrition base will definitely help you get there.
Awesome, man. And for all you guys listening, you know, I worked out with Steve in college. I picked him because he was the strongest guy on the team. And I knew that if you wanted to get good at something, surround yourself with other people that are successful at that. So we would go and we'd run with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. And then we'd get the strongest guys together and make like a training group of like 4 or 5 guys, everybody trying to make each other better. And that's all about putting yourself in the right environment with the right people. So I highly suggest, if you're in driving distance of strength and honor training, definitely look Steve up. Where can people connect with you? How can people learn more about you, follow you, or possibly train with you?
I appreciate that, man. You're definitely right about that, man. If you stand in roses long enough, you're going to smell like roses, right? If you stand in cow manure long enough, what are you going to smell like?
That's good. Right?
So you really want to surround yourself with like-minded people, and that's with all things. I'm at on Instagram at Strength and Honor Training. On Facebook, it's Steve Konopka, CPPS, /Strength and Honor Training. And then I have my website, strengthandhonortraining.com.
Awesome, man. So definitely follow Steve over there, and we'll post the links under the podcast and under the video here, so you can click those and connect. Again, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being one of my early mentors as well. Appreciate you, Steve. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for having me. It meant the world to me. Take care. Right,
take care.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.